What is up, everybody? We love to see you coming back. We love to do these episodes. Welcome back to Beyond the Numbers. As always, I'm your host, Will, and your other host, Ben.
Hello.
And we are excited to bring you another episode of Beyond the Numbers. This is going to be a very special episode, particular for me, you know.
Gotta everything. Be after that rough Miami game.
Everything went well after that, though. So we're going to get into it. But first, we wanted to start off this episode with a little bit more personable items. Ben, what is your favorite sport moment that you've actually witnessed? Not one something that you were watching on the TV and you were just like, wow, I was actually a witness to that.
Oh, man. There is a lot of moments that I can think of. I mean, for what it's worth, I think my most memorable moment, and I'll tell you, I don't know who they were playing, but because this was so many years ago. This is what got me into football. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Brett Favre just throwing the ball downfield, and it was epic. But if we're going to go with other moments, I mean, every sport has had them, but I think for me, the most iconic moment that I think had the biggest impact on me as a fan in general, not just for one sport, but for all of them, but particularly for football, because that's my sport. That's my thing. Would honestly probably have to be the very first game that Aaron Rodgers played in. Man, that was a surreal moment. That entire game was surreal. Mm. The passing of the torch. And if I want to be honest, like in recent moments, the game with Pittsburgh and Green Bay, there were some very memorable moments for me in that game, particularly in the second half, of course, when Green Bay turned it around. But I think it's, for me, it's the classics. You know, not so much when Jordan Love played his first game after Rodgers was gone. Like, yeah, it was kind of a surreal moment, but it wasn't the same. But watching, because like, right, when Brett Favre was gone, like, he was gone. It was over. It was different. When Rodgers left, he was going to the Jets. It was a lot of animosity and I think a lot of resentment for how everything went down. But Aaron Rodgers' first game, taking over, replacing Brett Favre, yeah. And then, you know, his epic 27-year-old season when he got himself a Super Bowl, which, mind you, Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers all won themselves a Super Bowl at the age of 27. So I'm just saying Jordan Love is turning 27, and actually this month I do believe it is. So, you know, there's that. Man, I could talk about, you know, when Aaron Rodgers hoisted himself a Super Bowl championship, the Lombardi, after he got it back in 2010. Football for me is full of iconic moments. But it's not because of one particular instance. It's the story. Micah Parsons' first play whenever Green Bay played Dallas back in week five. Like, that was a moment. That was a storyline, iconic moment for something that, whilst it may not be the most epic, still a big deal. But again, the biggest thing in my life outside of that very first thing that I ever seen watching football with Brett Favre was the game in which Aaron Rodgers started for the first time as the number one QB in Green Bay.
That is beautiful stuff, sir. For me, I'm going to go ahead. You know, you guys, football is not technically my sport. I love it. But, you know, as a fat guy, everybody wants you to like football. And I was always daring to be different. So basketball was actually the first sport that I picked up to love. And if you've watched past episodes, you know, Kobe Bryant is the one that got me into any form of sport. And I'm going to go with, for my favorite moment, his last championship. his last, that fifth title that he won, a lot of people don't realize Kobe was on bad knees. He had no help around him other than Pau Gasol. And he carried that 2010 team to that ship on knee to knee. Like, if you saw an x-ray of Kobe's knees during that time, he was basically bone on bone. It's why he had to slow down after that. So my favorite part is watching him hoist that 2010 trophy for the last one that he would actually have, by the way. That whole team, though they played that part, they were all on Kobe's back, and everybody knew it. I don't know. Something about Kobe beating the Celtics at that time when they had all the GOATs. We're talking, they had Rondo. They had KG. They had Paul Pierce. And Kobe dubbed them. There's nothing better for me than seeing Kobe do that. His last game is also another big one for me because it was all emotion. He did that, what was it? The moonwalk on the free throw line. It was just an epic game. And you could tell Kobe was just, he was not like he was ready to get out of there. He was making sure that everybody knew that he's okay with Luke. That, you know, the go era may be over, but we got some succession going on. So that would be mine. If I were to put it into a perspective.
Okay. I mean, you know, when you talk about greatest plays and greatest moments, you know, in the history of sports, most people, I think, look at big plays that happened for their team. Things that, you know, just an incredible impact, whether it was good or bad. People want to look at plays that were just incredibly epic. But, like, when I look at these moments, I'm looking at things that happened that, like, teams, right? Like, it wasn't just about one particular player or anything like that. You know, I think, like, if we talk about Green Bay, you know, you have the Ice Bowl back in 1967, which was the NFL championship game there between the Cowboys and the Packers. Incredibly cold. Packers win on a last second touchdown. Like, the entire team came together in one of the coldest games probably in the history of the league, and they won themselves a championship. I mean, it is what it is. But then you look at other things like the Tuck Rule play back from 2002, where, you know, that call, that fumble that Tom Brady had, it reversed it because it was initially ruled a fumble. They made it the incomplete pass, right, which allowed the Patriots to drive down to win the game. Those are moments that I look at, even the ones that might be considered negative, that have an impact on not just a team or a play or a game specifically. I look at things that just change the perception of the league, of the sport, and how things just change once that occurs. You know, but I mean, if we're looking at other legendary plays, I mean, even from before my time, one of the plays that I hear and I see and I still admire, the Immaculate Reception. Franco Harris, man, I mean, he was elite, really. But it just, you can come up with all these sports. Yes, sir, because those are the moments that define the game.
No, that's what I'm saying. If we're talking about before our time, you know, we got a Jordan game six situation. You got pretty much any Laker and Celtics championship matchup from back then. Like, we can get into some real we can get into some real GOAT moments right now. But
I mean,
that's not what we're here to do.
I'm just saying, probably one of the most iconic games that I've ever went back and seen or watched. Because I don't think it was quite. It was around the time I started watching sports. But I want to say probably one of the more iconic games would be when Brett Favre would be the game after where he played the Raiders, the game after his father died. He played with a furious intensity that, like, again, an iconic moment. It was surrounded by loss, but just an incredible, incredible moment where you looked at that and you're like, wow. There was another one, who was it on the 49ers? This has been in our time. This has been not with, I think it's been within the last decade. The one receiver for the 49ers, his son, I believe it was his son. He lost his son at birth. And he went out there and just balled out. Like, those are the type of plays, like, they change the game. Let's look at DeMar Hamlin and the Bills. Like, I mean, essentially, he died. He's still playing, but he died at that time. Like, you see the way it changed the entire complexion of not just the game, but the entire team for that year. The Bills went nuts that year after that. Like, they just did not stop. So when I think of iconic moments,
Hamlin,
that's what I think of. Huh?
Hamlin irritates me.
Now he does. It's over.
It's not about him or his football play. Well, technically it is. But, you know, Hamlin's the one that injured Tua last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the one that took Tua out of the game, out of pretty much every game up until week 8.
But to be clear, when he injures somebody, I don't really sit there and think too much about it because that man died for the game.
But that's the thing. That pretty much spelled the downfall for last year. Last year, I don't care what you say, sir. The Dolphins could have had something to him.
Could have.
Tua was playing good ball for those first two games he was in. Good ball. He just so happened to scramble out of the pocket. That one game, that's it. That was the one game that changed pretty much the trajectory of the Dolphins for good until they actually get a new lineup in, until they actually fire that head coach that they got. DeMar Hamlin caused that. And Tua's non-running ability, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that.
But Tua died. But Tua didn't die for the game.
I don't care. He almost did. Did you see that?
To be fair, them concussions. Yeah, them concussions, man. Those things can go real bad real fast.
That hit was crazy. And it's like everybody, I was sitting at home watching, but you could hear it in the stadium. As soon as everybody saw that hit, I saw that hit and I was like, no.
Yeah, everybody knew it was over. Everybody knew Tua was done.
It was like immediate. Like, you saw the hit and you just knew that hit was not, there was no good. We were done for. And it pretty much cooked the Dolphins for the rest of the season. It fooled DeMar Hamlin. Ugh. I swear to
God. I don't know. There is no
doubt
that.
I'm not trying to blame the man. I'm just trying to blame the man. You understand what I'm saying?
It's his fault, but it's not his fault, even though it's his fault.
There we go. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I got you. Yeah, I mean, we can spend forever talking about iconic moments, but I will say sports for me as a person, you know, setting all of this, you know, this is a show thing aside, right? Sports is probably one of the things that gave me a little bit of purpose when I was younger. It was one of the things that turned me around and it kept me out of trouble because I got focused into it. It was one of my biggest passions as a kid, was just to try to do better and get more and more involved. And I just took a deep interest in sports from both the, you know, the fun of it and, you know, even the numbers. That's why I'm the numbers guy, because the stats, they are, to me, it tells such a story, right? Like, most people, they're looking at it and they want to see all these moments, but I want to see what these moments caused, what caused the moment and what the moment caused, a ripple effect. I see things in sports as more than just a feel good or a bad feeling. I see it as this led to this, you know. Again, we talked about the whole Tuck Rule thing. That changed for good or bad, however one wants to view it, that was a change in how the NFL did things. You know, the kickoff rule, it's been changed. But how does it impact the game? Now we have these guys that are able to safely get the ball and take it and run. We're seeing more return yardage. You know, we're seeing guys breaking free for return touchdowns. So when I look at it from that standpoint of, like, the numbers, that's what I think of when I think of iconic moments, what these numbers are telling me.
You guys, if you haven't noticed, our name is based off of the things that we love about sports. Ben has always been the numbers guy in our relationship, and I am the person that couldn't care about the numbers because I see the story within the numbers.
Which is why we can talk about a story together real well.
We've always been able to do so. And with that, the personal part of this episode is done. Now we get to my trash talk. I told you so, sir. What did I say? Even down to the sixth inning, the seventh inning, when we finally stopped watching that game and then started doing our own thing. What did I tell you?
Barely.
Barely my
Yamamoto.
My Dodgers. And you know what?
Yamamoto, sir.
You know how right I was? Guess who gave up that last run? Guess who it was?
Them numbers, sir, the numbers don't make the Dodgers look good. They may have won, but it's only because of Yamamoto.
No.
It came way
before that, sir.
Okay, there were two, and this is the thing I've been saying, and this is the reason the Dodgers were able to win. The only way they beat the Blue Jays, what did I say?
I want to hear your perspective, because I'm about to go off.
You're about to go off, but at the end of the day, it's going to match what I said. The only way that they were going to get this win, and this is exactly how they did it, was they prevented them from loading the bases and driving the runs in. And it only happened at the end when it mattered. Because, see, the Dodgers – excuse me. Whew, I sneeze when I sneeze around bullshit. So, you know.
I love to see it. Go ahead, sir.
we'll leave this one in, folks. We'll put the explicit tag on for a reason. But that's exactly what happens. So, let me be clear. Bullcrap makes me sneeze. Now, the Dodgers, the entire postseason, their entire year, they can get a run here, there, maybe everywhere. Depends how they're feeling and who they're playing. Not against the Blue Jays, though. They had to fight for each run that they got, and it did not look pretty, sir. Your Dodgers didn't just win. They just scraped by. They just scraped on by, and it took seven games to win, sir. Seven games. The Blue Jays had them. The Blue Jays only lost because they couldn't figure their pitching out, and it took Yamamoto shutting them down entirely for it to be over.
Okay, so you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
I told you Game 6 was the only game that they had to beat the Dodgers. No matter how you look at Game 7, they were never going to win it. That was the entire issue. Gausman was their last good pitcher. And let's not even leave it up to just the pitching. You don't give the Dodgers an extra breath. If you got your foot on their necks, you can't let it up. That's the problem. That was the end. That's why I said it happened way before that, sir. Way before that. Shane Bieber was that last person that gave up that run, sir. And I warned you, as soon as Bieber came in, that was the Dodgers' win. That's all that was. And wait. Because I'm not done. They let up a home run to the bottom of the lineup. That's how weak their pitching is. Do you know Rojas had single digit in home runs this year? And he has not hit a home run on a lefty or, I mean, what was he, a righty? All season. And they gave it up to the very last man in the lineup. Shohei was about to come up at bat. And they gave it up to Rojas. You're telling me that the Blue Jays were about to win, sir? I think not. Not even a little bit.
I'm just going to say that it took 11 innings for the Dodgers to get it done. And let's be clear. Again, Yamamoto was the only reason that they got out of them. They got out of that jam there in the 10th.
I'm not.
That would have been a totally different outcome if it wasn't for Yamamoto being able to come in after the bullpen and every single pitcher for the Dodgers was done.
It doesn't matter, sir. This is what I was trying to express to you. The game was won after they won game 6. They let off the pressure. That's it. That's exactly what happened. And then they tried to put it back on the Dodgers, and it almost succeeded. I'll give you that. Almost only counts in horseshoes, sir.
Now watch the sidelines, sir.
Sir, only counts in horseshoes. They were never going to win. Once again, they had a relief pitcher in, and Shohei was up to bat next. If it wasn't Rojas, you don't think Shohei probably would have got that?
Shohei was rough in every aspect of the game.
Once again, they were about to be dubbed, regardless of how you look at it. They hadn't. They didn't have what it took. And let's be clear,
their
pitching was abysmal. They just lucky that the Dodgers
was no worse than the Dodgers.
They are just lucky that the Dodgers were not playing like the Dodgers. That's it. If the Dodgers were playing like the Dodgers, it would have got dark in there. Scherzer was pitching meatballs. They just weren't catching them. And then they let one person. I don't care what you say, sir. Rojas should not have been the one to catch that ball. No matter what you say. Giving up a run to Rojas is nasty, ridiculous, diabolical, maniacal work. Okay? It doesn't make any sense that they gave up that run to Rojas. Rojas.
I love it. Oh, man, that's beautiful.
It doesn't matter what you say or how you say it, bro. They gave up. They lost as soon as they lost game 6. They had one chance to beat the Dodgers and take this World Series. Going to game 7 was the biggest mistake that the Blue Jays made. I don't care what you say. Because they should have never went to game 7, period.
I agree. There should have never been a game 7. Game 7 was going to be a fatal game for either team. At the end of the day, when you're at the point when this is the last game that can be played for the season, no matter what, this is it. You are correct. By all means, you are correct, and you have the right to go off on that. However, neither team should have let it get to game 7. The Dodgers did not lock it down and win in big fashion. They did not show out like they did last year. The Dodgers showed that they are not the same team that won last year. Yes, they've won this year. But we're talking about a game 7 where they got, they got lucky that things went just right for them in the end. It could have just as easily, even Yamamoto was looking stressed out there. It could have just as easily been just enough. That game could have kept going. That game could have went further innings. That game could have turned into the Blue Jays' favor. At the
it
end of the day,
never going to do
iconic
so,
moments. Sure. Iconic moments. I do love it, but I disagree with you that it was going to be a lock coming into that for the Dodgers. I don't care that the Dodgers won, but it was not no lock. In fact,
I'd have put all the money in the world on it. I promise you I would have.
Let's be clear. The only the Blue Jays put more hits on the Dodgers than the Dodgers did on them. In the end, that doesn't mean a lot because they lost. But that, again, the Blue Jays are a better team. They were the best hitting team in the league for a reason.
They are not the better team, sir.
Oh, but they are.
They have performed. Excuse me. they may have, fuck, they may have performed better during this season, but they are nowhere near the better team. Nowhere near it. I don't care. Hitting wise, cool. They outperformed the Dodgers. Pitching wise, they've needed work all season. All season. And the Dodgers are that one team that you cannot give breathing room. And that's exactly what they did. They gave the Dodgers one more shot to get it together. And guess what happened?
That was their mistake. I'm not saying you're wrong. They shouldn't have given them that chance. That was their mistake. They couldn't get it done. They did exactly what I said they do really good at. The problem is they didn't score off of it. They had too many times where they left people on base. When you have runners in scoring position and you're constantly leaving them stranded, you're going to struggle. That's the thing. The Blue Jays get hits. They've been doing it all year. In the end, though, they couldn't get it done on the big stage in a game seven. They did it all the other games. I mean, it was a 3-3 run. Here we are, game seven. Both teams, this is it. For all the marbles, they were not able to get it done. Will Smith, in the top of the 11th, Louisville native.
Oh, I was getting Will. Big Will. You know, where there's a will, there's a way.
Hey, he's from Louisville, so shout out to him.
Shout out to 502. I love it.
All right, sir. I don't know about you, but baseball season is over, and to an extent, I say good riddance. There are too many sports, too many phenomenal things to watch and talk about, and baseball is one of those that is not the easiest to mix in with everything else. However, we can always mix a World Series in. So, it's been great, but I don't know about you. I say it's on to the next season for baseball, and we can get after it a little bit later.
It works for me, sir. The rosters about the they're already talking about putting out power rankings and rosters and whatnot. I'm definitely following, especially because my Dodgers are first time repeat champions since the Yankees in 2000. I'm loving to see it. I'm loving to hear it. I'm not buying no Dodgers merchandise because everything just went up $200. But
it's okay. The Reds are gonna win it this coming season, and that's all that's gonna matter.
Yeah, we'll let you have your delusion, but we all know that the Reds had no chance this year and probably have no chance next year.
The disrespect.
Hey, it's not disrespect. I actually like the Reds. Ellie De La Cruz, but, you know, it's not. I'm just not, you know.
I'll take half of our lineup at this point over him.
Copy that. Hey, as you should, really, because if we're being honest, the man,
Friedel, Steer, Marte, and on 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 it goes.
Yeah, if we're talking about my favorite Red, that it has to be McClain. Matt McClain's a dog.
Well, Matt McClain's an iconic player for us right now. I like, honestly, if I want to talk about my favorite player right now, I think it's Noelvi Marte. I think he is going to be an incredible player. I think he's got some work to do, but he's going to be phenomenal, sir.
I can definitely see that. If he does the work, though. You know, some people just think that they're too great for it. But
I think he'll do the work. He was putting in the work during the season where, you know, he really had a good year. The only thing that I'm worried about with him is if he's going to want to stay with the Reds. Because here's the thing, right? The Reds are kind of a ticking time bomb. And I don't really want to get into this, but I'll just leave it at that. They're a ticking time bomb because they're running out of time to take the pieces that they do have, put a few extra pieces in place, and actually get it done. Because right now, they're not a competitive team. As much as I joke and say Reds to take it all, So, anyway.
Moving on.
I'm not going to get down.
We're not going to. That's right. We're not going to keep talking about baseball because there is so much football to get into. You should really stop believing so hard in the Packers.
Sir, Don't even throw the disrespect at me for this. Sir, you can try all you want, but the Dolphins lost to the Panthers too, and until they do something in Miami, you cannot tell me otherwise.
I can. That's, you know what? Because there's reasons that Miami lost. Miami's
just horrible.
Horrible play caller. Miami is horrible. We can establish that, right? What is Green Bay's excuse for losing to the Panthers, sir? Let me know.
There is none, but I can
give
tell you this.
Give me one good reason. Okay, so we can agree that the Packers have a whole problem.
They do.
They have an entire problem on their hands, and they are not going to make it far in this league playing the way that they play.
They are one of the best teams in the league.
Carolina Panthers.
Sir, the Carolina Panthers, let's be abundantly clear here, sir. The Panthers are on a nice little tear. The Panthers, with Rico Dowdle, because your whole thing about Cuba Hubbard was out the window early on.
It doesn't matter who the running back was, sir. It doesn't. Let's be clear.
Opening
up the Panthers all season. So this is not a slight at the Panthers. This is a slight at the Packers.
It is not a slight. The only problem that we had was we did not keep the momentum going offensively. Our only problem was that we weren't even in the first half. We lost the time of possession battle because we could not stop committing stupid penalties and we could not stop the Panthers. We could stop them from scoring, but we could not stop them from driving. It was a windy day. It was a brutal, cold game. That really was a defensive showing. The only problem is that the Packers made some bad in-the-moment plays here and there that continued to cost them their drives, both offensively and defensively. And that right there is the problem. This was not the Cleveland game. That was just a bad performance by Green Bay. This was a game that was a defensive slugfest. Jordan Love struggled. But again, it wasn't just Jordan Love. The fact of the matter was both sides were struggling. This was a tough game that wasn't going to be won by any large margin once you've seen out the gate how
that
the
boy
the Packers
threw
were
for 300 and still couldn't win. Bryce Young,
let's be honest,
had 102, sir. He had 102 with the interception, the same interception that Jordan Love had. And they won. This is an issue for me, sir, because you were talking so bad about my Dolphins. And the Dolphins, we all can agree that the Dolphins are cooked until they make some major changes. Who? All right. Why are your Panthers dropping games that they shouldn't? I can even make better excuses for the Bills dropping the game to the Panthers than you two.
Highly doubtful, sir.
That's crazy to me.
I can give you several reasons in the comparison as to why the Panthers would have beaten the Packers more than the Bills, but yet the Packers, as a team, are doing better. Look, you're judging us based off of our two losses, but our wins are proof that we are a much better team. Look, don't forget, there ain't going to be an undefeated season. I don't think ever again in the NFL for any team. It's not going to happen. The Panthers are 5-4 now, sir. Why would you sleep on that? That is a team that has came from the bottom and
why
worked their way up.
Why are you
making
this seem like I'm shooting at the Panthers? I told you I saw this trajectory for the Panthers. Hear me out.
I'm saying that the Panthers are doing good. This wasn't us coming in and losing to the Cleveland Browns, sir. This was us losing to a good team, a competitive team.
Which y'all also did, sir. Y'all also lost to the Browns.
It doesn't matter.
Why are y'all losing to low-ranked teams? It doesn't matter how you look at it. The Panthers are a low-ranked team compared to the Packers. They should
not
have lost.
Not by much anymore, sir. It doesn't matter. They're a good team. And when you put a good team up against a good team, you're going to have games like this. Not every game is going to go the way I want it to go. Yes, there were a lot of bad play calls. LaFleur did not look like he was the coach he needed to be. He looked frustrated. He looked rattled. Jordan Love was under pressure and he couldn't hold up. That's his biggest flaw, is he doesn't do well when he finally gets under some real pressure. The Panthers knew it. They took advantage of it, and they owned it. We lost Tucker Kraft to an ACL injury, so, you know, his season's over, which really just put us in a tough spot because he was our main guy. Let's be clear. He was our main target for Jordan Love. He was the Travis Kelce for Jordan Love. All right. So we're struggling in that department as it is. Our receivers have not been as dominant as they need to be. They've gotten the job done. That's why we've won so many games. But Tucker Kraft is a true machine as a tight end. Probably was on pace to have one of the best seasons as a tight end in recent history. And now he's out. Injury bug hits. Our offensive line made some stupid penalties. Our defense, a few stupid penalties. But our defense was on point. We lost by a field goal, and let's be clear, if they would have held up Rico Dowdle for literally one more second, it would have went to overtime, and we may be talking about a different outcome. I get it. We shouldn't have dropped that game because, yes, as much as I hate it, it made me so mad. We lost to the Panthers, but then I look at it, and I'm like, this ain't the Browns. This ain't, you know, week three. This is it. This is the middle of the season. This is where things get tough. This is where everybody's taking a beating. The injuries are real. They're tearing everybody apart. We're in week nine. This is it. This is that halfway point where everybody's figuring out what's going to work and what's not going to work. Jordan Love had an off game, an incredibly bad off game, really, for what he could have done. But, I mean, our receivers, they weren't playing their best. Our running game was not on point. We didn't perform. But at the end of the day, for everything that we did wrong, we did everything that we could to do it right, too. Our defense showed out against one of the more prolific offenses right now in the NFL. Because let's be clear, Rico Dowdle is on pace to have himself pert near an MVP year. Chuba Hubbard can go. He can leave. He won't be a Panther next year, I don't think. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that you're giving a slight at the Panthers, but I sure can tell you this. The Packers didn't just go drop some measly game. If this would have been us playing Miami and we lost to Miami, sir, I'd have said you'd have something to talk about. But this is the Panthers, who have won some incredibly crazy games already this year. This is their fifth win. And they were not projected to go even 500 at the beginning of the year, if we're being honest. And they're doing it.
Like I said, the Panthers were bound to do something great this year. I called it at the beginning of the year. Everybody was down on the Panthers.
Sir, neither one of us called the Panthers doing anything at the beginning of the year because we both sat there and said they were cooked.
No.
Yeah.
I told you I like the Panthers. I've been saying that for episodes and episodes now, sir. Go back and listen to them. I've been telling you that the Panthers have
them
regardless. Even though they may be cooked, they are doing well, and I still like the Panthers. I remember that episode that you're talking about, and I told you I still like the Panthers.
As an underdog, they are underdog.
Regardless of how you look at it, I don't like how you're trying to big up the Panthers just to make your Packers look better. And that's exactly what you're doing right now. You make a whole bunch of excuses for your Packers. But the fact of the matter is, they should not have lost that game. I don't care how you flip it. None of that. Yes, the Panthers are doing well, and I've been saying that they are doing well this entire time.
They are a competitive team. We didn't drop it. It's not like freaking, you know, if Ohio State drops a game to, like, I don't know, you could throw out about any other name of any team. You know, like, let's go with, like, I don't know, Kentucky. You know, Ohio State's not losing to Kentucky. Ohio State's not going to lose to Miami of Ohio. You know, they're not going to lose to pretty much any team in the NFL or in NCAA right now. But the point being, Green Bay's not. They didn't lose to a terrible team. They barely lost. They came out, they made a bunch of mistakes. I'm not making excuses for their mistakes, but I am telling you, when you said, what are my excuses? The excuse of it is, per se, is that they didn't lose to some haphazard, poorly put together team. At the beginning of the year, I probably would, and even going into this game, I was like, you know what? This is the Panthers. We should win. But it's the same mistake that people made against, talking about the Broncos this year. Earlier in, people wrote them off. They're proven people wrong. The Panthers are proving, including me, people wrong. And therefore, this was not some measly team that we played. We didn't go and play a bottom of the barrel team. We played a team that is actually competitive and has a legitimate shot of making a push for the playoffs.
I just heard you make all of those excuses, sir. It's not flying over this way. But it's okay.
Because you're a Miami fan, sir.
It's okay. It's not flying over.
You know what losses feel like, and you're used to them, and it hurts.
Yeah, and so do the Packers, and it should hurt.
The Packers don't hurt.
For some reason. But for some reason, you're literally still defending them losing to a team that they shouldn't have lost to. And you did the same thing with the Browns. And you do the same thing. You just keep making the same excuses. Even when they win sloppily, you make the same excuses. Oh, they still won. No, that's not how this works, sir. L's with the Dolphins, you're gonna have to learn how to take your L's with the Packers. You just long-winded an entire excuse for why they just sucked. Doesn't matter. You even brought up the weather like that's supposed to matter.
It definitely can.
But Josh Allen had a 4-touchdown game in the snow last year, sir. It doesn't make a difference how you want to flip it or whatever. They weren't playing in the snow.
Technically, they were, but.
Okay.
Listen, okay.
I feel like we should move on to the next game at this point, you guys. I know, like, this is crazy.
Because he has no skin in the fight. His team is terrible. So.
All right.
I heard a lot of excuses from you, sir. I've heard a lot talking about play calling. That's an excuse. You ain't got an excuse.
That wasn't an excuse. That was a fact. Anybody that saw that game could tell that was horrible play calling. Regardless of how you want to flip it around.
Doesn't matter. It's an excuse, right? It's an excuse as to why you lost. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter, right?
Nothing that you said was fact. Everything she...
We literally lost.
Except for the stuff that you were talking about. Except for... Hold on, wait. The only thing that you said that was a fact was that the Panthers are competitive.
The Packers are able to do.
That's it.
No.
That's the only thing that you said. No other excuse that you made for the Packers is a fact. That's your opinion trying to save face. You're literally bigging up the Panthers just so you can make your Packers look less bad in this situation. You haven't said anything like this about the Panthers all season until now. That's the problem. I have been saying this about the Panthers all season. You can go back to every episode. I promise you. I've been saying this all season. You haven't praised the Panthers like this at all.
No, it's not praising the Panthers. It's simply rebuttaling what you said, that we should have won this game like the Panthers didn't have a chance of winning it. I've started talking about the Panthers since Rico Dowdle has had some phenomenal games, because let's be clear. He's the reason they're winning these games.
Okay.
Now, you're not going to sit here and convince me that I'm simply just...
By the way, it's not just me saying that they almost had no shot at winning. They were at plus 600 odds to win this game. Green Bay was minus 1,000 to win this game.
I am aware.
They had a 13-5 spread to cover. Like, what are we talking about, sir? It's not like they were supposed to win. They were not supposed to win at all.
And why would you think that
book had them anything over 13.5? I mean, under 13.5.
Why wouldn't that be a trap, sir? You've told me this 1,000 times.
Sir, that I know how to read sports books, and I stayed away from this game. I'll show you my money line bet. I stayed straight away from this game because I knew the
I absolutely did, too. I didn't touch it because I know better than to bet on my team.
It's not about I have no skin in the game on either side. And I stayed away from the game because the Packers cannot cover that spread. I knew they were going to end up doing something.
We're not a spread covering team.
Yes, y'all are. Against
no, we're not. Panthers, we have more close games.
You're supposed to be. This is
we should be, but we're not.
This is my problem. Against the Panthers, you were supposed to be. Either way, I stayed away from the game and didn't take anything because I knew the Panthers could cover that spread. Easy.
Okay. Well,
I didn't want to risk my money or waste my money on taking anything else.
Did you hit on anything?
No, I didn't. But that's neither here nor there.
Cheers. I didn't either.
It sucked.
I was mad about my parlay. Let's be clear. The Seahawks went ham on the on the Commanders and yeah. I honestly thought, I ain't gonna lie. I thought I was about to hit on that. And to be fair, a decent amount of the Seahawks players and covering their spread went really, really well. But, you know, I figured Jaden Daniels would throw at least one touchdown, not break his arm. Dislocate.
Dislocate. Did you see that?
Oh, I did. Lord. It looked ugly.
Yeah, he's not coming back all season. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Hope he gets
they're saying cause... he's going to miss multiple weeks like they're not about to have to go ahead and throw him on IR.
Yeah, because he's not throwing with that arm.
No, you can't. And honestly, as much as he's been injured already this year, at this point, you gotta know when to chalk it up as a loss because the Commanders are not going to redo what they did last year. Like, there's no revival for them. There's no coming back and having a run. Unless Marcus Mariota somehow pulls something together and he single-handedly wins games for them,
You know what irritates me? Why wasn't Jaden Daniels in the gym? You can tell he hasn't, like, he's been practicing and whatnot. He ain't been in the gym, though. He's still little. It's why he's getting hurt. You scrambling out of the pocket like you did last year isn't going to fly when you're still small. He was small last year compared to other quarterbacks. And this year, if you saw the arm that broke in that video, it was very vivid, sir. Mm-hmm. He has no tone. None of that. They should have had that boy eating all types of fats and grease and then working it out with the weights. We're talking about protein, protein, protein. We're like, they should have had him eating all hamburger meat and bread and working out 24/7. He should have came back a whole new quarterback. You understand me? Because that is exactly the problem that they had last year. That man was getting, they read him. They knew what he wanted to do. And as soon as he got pressure on him, he folded. So they should have had that plan in mind regardless. He was already a well-toned quarterback. Yes, you make him practice. But on top of that, his diet plan should have included all types of beef.
He should have got with Derrick Henry in the offseason.
Literally. He should have been a bully out there this season. But
I think...
Yeah.
I think the problem is on top of the fact that he clearly wasn't trying to bulk up, which he should have been. I get it. He's smaller as a quarterback and he's faster, but he should have took from examples of quarterbacks who have consistently struggled before him. Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, RG3's career ended very quickly because of his size and the way he played. Even Andrew Luck, the big fella, he started getting them injuries because he wouldn't learn. He wouldn't improve. Now, granted, Andrew Luck wasn't a small guy. He was actually a really, really big guy back then in the time when mobile quarterbacks had to be small. You know, Lamar Jackson's had many injuries. Right. It's a problem because quarterbacks are being pushed more and more and more in the college level, especially to scramble. We're getting away from what makes quarterbacks great. See, if you think about football, you know, even out like 100 years ago, right? Like way back when, it wasn't a passing league. Everything was a run. It was all run. Even for like the quarterback position, you were merely just the guy that got the ball from point A to point B, which was the running back. So everything was run, 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 every possible package to confuse the defense. But the defense knew what was coming. Every play, a run. And then the era of the forward pass started. And then quarterbacking became a thing, and it became popular. And then it became legendary. And it became the face of football. Years and years ago, the face of football was the running back. And this is the problem with the Commanders right now. They don't have a good running back. Then, once we got away from having to have the dominance at the running back positions, you then got into, okay, we have these great quarterbacks. Now we need to give them great guys to catch that ball that they can throw down the field. So then we start seeing legendary receivers, you know, the Jerry Rices of the world, right? We started seeing that. And quarterbacks evolved. Receivers became more and more popular. Running backs still continue to do their thing. The league was different. Running backs ran, quarterbacks passed. You didn't see a lot of scrambling. Now we have everybody and their mama out there running. I'm pretty sure Jane Daniels called his mama up. She's probably going to come run for him because at this point, everybody runs. Again, we are going in a circle. We are going back to how it was. We're seeing all these fancy packages. We're seeing more and more teams running concept like the Wildcat, the Pistol, Triple Y, all these things that used to be common when we ran the ball. The era of the passing quarterback is starting to go backwards and is starting to fade. Now we have a dominant NFL when it comes to quarterback scrambles. You got your Josh Allen's, your Lamar Jackson's, I would throw Anthony Richardson in there, but he's just brittle. You've got your Justin Fields of the world. You got your Caleb Williams or Patrick Mahomes, if I haven't already said it. And the list goes on and on. Your Jaden Daniels and your Jackson Dart, right? Like all of these guys continue to be about that life. Your J.J. McCarthy, who, by the way, what a comeback for him to help get his team over the Lions. But
I was waiting on us to get to that. That was actually an incredible game.
That was a game. And let me be honest here. The NFC North continues to irritate me, and I can't stand it. It is full of competitive, mean, ugly teams. It doesn't matter what the records show right now for these four teams. The Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers are all going to fight it out in a slugfest until the very end. I don't even know what to... Sir, the Lions dropping a game to the Vikings?
Another team that I called is the Bears. That game was incredible.
That one was... Bengals,
that, like,
the Bengals did everything right. What is it going to take? What is just... What it doesn't matter which Joe it is, which Joe doesn't matter, but what Joe needs to do to get his team over the hump, he did exactly what he needed to, and they still lost to the Bears.
Very high scoring game, very electric game. And the Bears are crazy this year. I don't care what anybody says, I really don't. They are crazy this year, they have had incredible games. Even the games where they've lost, those games were okay. It was just they lost them. They haven't had any games where you could just say, okay, what's going on with the Bears? None of them. In every game, they've been competitive except for the Ravens. The Ravens kind of took off on them.
But even then, they put up a fight.
Yep.
If you're watching the Bears right now, you're watching some incredible football. The Lions kind of beat them up a little bit. But once again, they put up a fight. It's just those are the Lions. The Bears are an incredible watch.
Tell the Vikings.
Wait. Like we just said, every team's going to take a loss, right? And J.J. McCarthy just so happened to have a great game.
Don't forget, the Vikings just so happened
to have an awesome defense.
I told you it doesn't happen all the time.
It doesn't happen all the time, though. Their defense is not infallible. It is not.
Here's my only problem that the Lions, and this is all Lions' failure. This is not the Vikings. This is Lions' failure. J.J. McCarthy's barely played in the NFL. I don't care that he's got a couple of games. He spends most of his time injured. Okay? Brittle. And I love it because that just continues to help us out in the NFC North. But I don't want to see people injured, by the way. I'm not wishing injuries upon anyone. But from a Packers fan, I love to see them lose. So this was a Lions letdown. Because J.J. McCarthy is not in a position to where he should be able to ball out. He's coming off of another hefty injury. He is coming in against the Lions. And let's be clear, his first half was not pretty. But yet, they won. Aaron Jones got moving. And McCarthy could roll out. And that offensive line somehow suddenly gave him some protection. The Addisons and the Jeffersons of the world, you know, came to play. That I don't get what the Vikings defense got onto. I know they're good. They're a good defense. They're one of the better defenses regardless because they show up when it matters a lot of the time. I just didn't expect it to be against the Lions. I figured McCarthy comes back, gets himself a little shook up, but he gets it together, has a good game, but loses in the end. No. He came out, showed out. Everybody did their job, and they won themselves a game by a field goal. So, I don't know. Also, real quick, if you haven't been watching the game, the Cowboys are currently losing. Granted, it's only 3-0, but they are currently losing this game.
Yeah, the Cardinals are playing, I guess, great defense right now. I don't see how, but the Cowboys are starting to irritate me. That's it. Because I was really bigging them up at the beginning of the season. And there was no reason to. Clearly. Because why? Why are y'all losing? Why have y'all not scored yet? And there's only 2 minutes left in the first quarter. There's so many questions, so many whys when it comes to the Cowboys. But I'm going to leave that alone. Because these other games were epic. The Bills beat the Chiefs. Never thought I saw that coming.
Game 10 of the Mahomes Allen matchups.
The Chiefs have been Bill's kryptonite for a while now.
Problem is, it's going to be in the playoffs that winds up being the thing.
Well, we'll see about that. Josh Allen had 3 touchdowns in that game, sir, and he was on the move. 2 rushing. It was a sight to see, if we're being honest.
Don't forget James Cook.
I was about to get to him, sir. We're talking about Josh Allen, though. He had 2 rushing touchdowns, a passing touchdown. He was 23 for 26. He had an immaculate game, no interceptions. And then you got James Cook, 27 carries with 114 yards rushing. He didn't have a touchdown, but he definitely made an impact against that Chiefs defense. They couldn't do anything with him. And then Dalton Kincaid with 101 yards, sir. Are you insane?
Yes, sir.
The Bills actually went crazy in this game up against. So we're definitely going to have to see how they're actually going to perform during this game. During the playoffs. Because.
Let me just say this. I love me the tight end position. That is one of my favorite positions. It's one of the best targets for a quarterback to have. I love when I play football, whether it's NCAA or Madden, I love throwing to the tight end. Probably well over 50% more than I do to any other position. Because let me tell you.
You get cooked by me then.
But go ahead. Sir.
You get cooked. I'm you get cooked.
You don't understand.
Stupid.
Going to a tight end for me, unstoppable. You got to understand, the play calls that I make are designed to make you think I'm about to do something else. And I promise you, take my tight end, I'm going to absolutely hit you down the field. I will roast with any team, but you give me a team with a good tight end.
That's the thing. Ooh. I'm good with covering the whole field. And there's only a few places that you can go with a tight end. So if you go
Where you're wrong. If you know you go to him,
I can go to another one. I can switch off real well. Pick sixes. But once again, we're not here to talk about men. We're talking about football and
real life. Yes.
Yeah.
In real life, the tight end position has been more and more progressively valuable and dominant for quarterbacks. And you good over there, sir?
Yeah. So like, need some water. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. You know, that's just the tight ends are on the sideline, too. Them boys need some water out there. They're a little big. You know, they block. They catch the ball. Even in certain circumstances, man, they run the ball. But, like, the tight end, that is a position that you have to be excellent at. You've got all sorts of possibilities where things can go wrong, but oh, so many things that can go right. It's the best position in the league. And let's be clear, teams that have great tight ends are teams that do so much better, in my opinion. Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, Dalton Kincaid, Tucker Kraft.
A tight end game right now. If you can get it,
it is.
See a big man. That's George exactly Kittle. What was it?
Yeah. That's the one.
Brock Bowers had him a nice game, by the way. I didn't want to stop you from your tight end rant, but Brock Bowers,
TJ Hawkinson, Sam Laporta, Tyler Higbee, right? I think it's Higbee over there, and the Rams. Kyle Pitts should be, however.
He's playing with a quarterback that doesn't respect talent of a tight end. If it's not Drake London, he's not getting the ball. That's pretty much how Penix plays.
It don't matter who's throwing for that team. Oh, and the Cards have the ball back, sir.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not, like I said.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask this question. Okay. Would you have imagined that Jacoby Brissett, who, mind you, was a backup for pretty much the beginning of his career with the Colts. Would you have thought that you would see him here about to potentially lead the Cardinals to victory over the Dallas Cowboys?
No, I wouldn't have saw that at all. But
this can turn the other way real fast. But
I was about to say this. I have a feeling that this isn't gonna go the Cardinals way.
It shouldn't. Longer.
The Cowboys, if they have what it takes, the Cardinals have no shot. But we'll definitely see. Because Monday Night Football is definitely for another episode. As for Sunday, I actually don't have anything else. Brock Bowers. I don't want to leave without actually giving him an honorable mention. I've been waiting for this breakout game from him. 3 touchdowns, 12 receptions for 127 yards, sir. And they lost that game, but it went to overtime. Trevor Lawrence tried his hardest, and they ended up pulling it out. But let's be clear. Brock Bowers, Tutty, if they would have got that 2-point conversion, they would have won the game. We had a lot of close calls in this last week, sir. Nobody could have called the way that all of these games went. I slightly did. My money line parlay wasn't actually that far off. But once again, I was one of those people that fell victim to, I didn't know that this was going to happen. the Colts losing to the Steelers.
I kind of called that, but I didn't call that because I had to second guess it. The Steelers weren't supposed to win that game, sir.
The Steelers should have, I think on paper, the Steelers should have lost that. But I think when you look at how long the Colts have been having their little streak, the only loss was earlier on in the season against the Rams. They were destined to have a loss at some point. I know you and I had talked about this when they lost to the Rams, and then they were playing, I believe, was it the Raiders they played after that? I'd have to go back and look. But the following game, they were supposed to drop, you said, and I said I didn't think so. And they won. And, you know, I think they've done exactly what they've needed to do, but their reign of terror had to end. The only problem that the Colts lost this game because of turnovers. This wasn't a bad performance by the whole entire team. This was just bad performance with turnovers. A couple picks, a couple of fumbles. Daniel Jones needs to settle it down. He needs to get out of that. He's doing something that's just unheard of or unstoppable type mentality. And he needs to take a breath, remember who he is, that he came from the Giants and he was terrible there, and he can easily be terrible here. You can't rely on the rest of your team to get a game won for you if you're turning the ball over yourself like that. It's just bad play calling by the coach to continue to give him those type of plays that will allow him to do it. I mean, man. But at the end of the day, it wasn't the coach's fault. It was just Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones doing Daniel Jones things. My concern for them is, are they going to be able to stop this from continuing to happen? But this is against a much better team than some of the competition they've been up against. Aaron Rodgers is, of course, Aaron Rodgers. And, it's okay. It's only their second loss. But that does mean that there is no team that has less than two losses on the year now. So.
Well, with that being said, sir, this episode has went way over time. If you have been with us this far, we definitely love to see it, love to see you, and we definitely aspire for you all to be your best. And speaking of aspire, my pal Benjamin has another promo for you all.
That is right, folks. I don't know about you, Will, but after a long day at work, because yes, everybody, we work. We are out here doing the thing, doing the 9-to-5 type thing. But I don't know about you, but after a long day of working, coming home, sitting down, doing this while we enjoy doing it.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I get tired.
Right? Most definitely.
It is hard to do it. And then it's even harder sometimes the next morning when we're up late, I'm up editing, whatever it may be, or we're just having a real late episode and we're getting done with the recording at 10, 11 o'clock at night, whatever it may be, getting up the next morning, or just getting the power to get through the whole entire show. You know, we're well over an hour to this recording and I'm wore out. So when we were looking at these brands that we partnered with, I was curious about Aspire. Kind of had an interesting little thing. You know, we got all these energy drinks out here that we try and we drink, and you know, they give you a little pep. But I was like, you know, like for me, I'm a Monster guy. I love Monsters, but they're hard on the gut. So Aspire is one of their big things is that it's supposed to be healthy. You know, it's a low caffeine dosage, but like it's supposed to really get to you and make you feel better and make you feel clear and focused. It's got the vitamins and stuff in it that people want, but I think the thing about it is that it's subtle, but it continues to work. Like I've been drinking it. They have a strawberry, watermelon, and a mixed berry that are my absolute favorites. I have 80 milligrams of caffeine, natural caffeine, mind you, with some green tea. Now that's a good thing right there, because it's not as hard on your heart, right? It is keto friendly. For those of you who are into the keto, it's not anything elaborate, guys. And yes, we get paid commission when we talk about this stuff and you buy. But at the end of the day, like we have a code for you guys. And as always, it is Beyond, BEYOND, all caps.
And as always, I will be going to use that code first. So
indeed. I highly suggest everybody looking into it. You can buy online. Now, I do believe you can buy in certain retail locations. I think Sam's Club is one of them. But at the end of the day, I've been drinking this now for a little bit, and I can tell you, I drank one this morning, and I felt the caffeine rolling. I don't even know if it's the caffeine, just like the general energy, the clarity that it actually says it has and it provides, it actually seems to do. I don't feel so tired. I drank one to get through this episode, and I feel pretty decent right now. I'm not going to lie. It's almost 9 o'clock at night, and we're an hour and 10 minutes into this recording. So, yes, it's another energy drink, but 80 milligrams of caffeine, no carbs, no sugar. At the end of the day, I think it's a pretty solid deal. It's got some good vitamins in it, and, I mean, for those of you who are vegan, doing the whole gluten-free or kosher or even soy-free, it's got something here for you. And 80 milligrams of natural caffeine seems to do the job to me. Again, use the code BEYOND and get yourself a nice little discount, y'all.
And with that being said, y'all, Ben, do you got anything else for Beyond the Numbers wise?
I just aspire to go to bed. So
you know. Me and you both, my guy. So
I do not.
You guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. If you made it this far, make sure you go onto our page, leave us some reviews, leave us some comments. Let us know how you feel about this. We always love to talk. We always love to respond. Other than that, good night. Peace.